Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, high above the ice surface at MTS Center. I'm your host, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mandel, here with Richard Pollock, and this is the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. The Winnipeg Jets were defeated tonight by the Anaheim Ducks by a score of 4-1. As a rematch of last Sunday's games where the Ducks won in overtime 4-3, the Ducks came into this game playing in Edmonton last night, arrived here late this morning at about 2 a.m., but tonight they were the better team on the ice for all three periods.
Yeah, you know, Michael, I thought Anaheim just kind of controlled the whole game today, and I know the Jets had the lead, and we'll talk about that scoring the first goal, but Anaheim never looked panicked, always looked in control. I thought they dictated the pace of the entire game. The Jets weren't able to generate much speed through the neutral zone, and the Ducks played a kind of a physical game as well. And I thought, you know, you watch the Jets play a lot, and they seem to kind of, the Jets are starting to physically intimidate some teams, I think. Not tonight. And Anaheim wasn't backing down, and there was really no room to push them at all. So that was a pretty impressive second half of a back-to-back for a team that looks like a credible Stanley Cup threat.
Yeah, the Ducks are the top team in the Western Conference. Showed no ill effects from last night's game. They played tough all night. And a problem this season, it's really creeping up. Talking about more, I was listening to the post-game show, and Tim Campbell saying, we're not talking about this enough, that the Jets are taking too many penalties.
In the pregame show.
They're leading the league now, time shorthanded. And tonight in the first period, Little had a tripping, Wheeler with a hooking. Sorry, that was the second period, but Wheeler with a hooking. I mean, it seems like they're getting shorthanded too many times, and it's finally catching up to them.
Well, the other problem you have is, you know, in terms of offensive zone penalties and just stupid penalties. I mean, all these offensive zone penalties, you have to cut them out. And like the Peluso penalty today, stupid penalty, grabbing. I mean, there's obvious plays here, and everybody's going to get on the refs. The refs don't care who wins this game, so don't get on the refs. I mean, I saw a couple of plays that the Jets got away with penalties, and I know there certainly were calls that the Jets fans aren't going to like. But at some point, you got to change your style of play in terms of lazy penalties and stupid penalties, and that's what they're doing. You don't get to the top of the league in penalties by taking all good penalties.
Now, let's start with the scoring summary here. The Jets came into the game, you know, there's, I think, 11 of their last 12 or something like that. Yeah. They're scoring first all the time. That continued again tonight on the power play. Matthew Perreault gets the puck on the left wing, passes to Brian Little, who's in, you know, just above the top of the faceoff dot. He rips a shot off the post and in behind the goalie, Freddie Anderson, who's now playing in his, 18th consecutive game?
Yeah. You know, this is a good play in terms of through the neutral zone, Michael. I think Enstrom, I know he's, without him, they've had some success in the power play, and here's another example, but I thought they had trouble after this play, after this goal in terms of getting, you know, taking advantage of any power play opportunities and getting the puck through the zone. They had some trouble doing that. But on this play, Buffalo makes a quick, nice pass to Perreault, who skates it through the neutral zone. And because he's a good passer, takes advantage of what Sammy Vatanen does. Sammy Vatanen kind of veers a little bit more over to him as if he's in a five-on-five situation. He has the support. But because Perreault, frankly, if he goes down the wing, is just going to set up in the power play formation, you'd think, Vatanen probably shouldn't have steered him that far, and he didn't have the support that he thought, so that's also an issue of support there. Perreault notices that Little is able to get into an open space, and Little jumps into it like a smart player. That takes a nice wrist shot, and it's a nice goal. Good execution on that goal.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Brian Little for that shot. I mean, it seemed like early in the year when the power play was struggling, that would maybe be a play where he'd look to pass the puck off instead of taking the shot. He's got a very good wrist shot, and he showed that last week, scoring the first Jets 2.0 hat trick. And let's go to the second period. I mean, the Jets' fourth line in tough. They struggled to get the puck out. Benchrod had a few times where he got tied up by an Anaheim defender. They end up icing the puck. And again, it looked like a power play with the Jets' top line with Getzlaff and Kessler and Bielski holding up the Jets' fourth line. Peluso tries to get the puck out, can't get it out, passes it back into his own end, ends up taking a holding penalty, which leads to the next power play goal by Ryan Getzlaff.
Yeah, I know, by Jacob Silverberg.
Jakob Silverberg, yeah, sorry. Getting ahead of myself here.
That's okay. No, what happens here is Lindholm gets the puck at the top of the blue line, and Kane kind of tries to take away the middle of the ice and angle him. And Lindholm, who I thought kind of improved as the game went on, especially in the second and third periods, made a nice pass to Silverberg on his off wing. And at that point in time, either Kane's got to get back on it harder or Buffalo's got to rotate higher. And neither of them did that. And Silverberg kind of comes in similar, a little bit lower in the zone, but similar spot to where Little was, and another good shot, and he scores. Now, both on the power play, one off the rush, one not off the rush. But the idea is too much space by the defensive team there, and a good scorer is able to pick a spot.
That's exactly right. And that was the Ducks' only power play goal in the night.
Yep.
The Jets are able to kill off four of the other five, but not quite that one. The next goal, Ryan Getzlaff. What is it, 8:29 into the second. The puck gets holed up behind the Jets' net. About three Jets defenders converge.
That's a problem. Is when you have three is fine if you got three Ducks back there.
Right.
Only had two. That means there's three Ducks atop the goal line and only two Jets.
Yeah, and Ryan Getzlaff gets the puck above the faceoff dot, and he's got a great wrist shot and rips it wide. But on the replay, you saw Tim Jackman. We'll keep getting confused with for former NHL Rick Jackman all night. But he runs into Michael Hutchinson. There was clearly interference there, and he's not able to stop the laser beam from Ryan Getzlaff.
Great job by Getzlaff. Kind of a scrambled defensive coverage. But I know everybody thinks that shouldn't have been a penalty, that shouldn't have been a goal. I think that should have been a goal. Jackman was not in the crease. And he's skating in front of the net. And Hutchinson is there, and maybe Hutchinson should have sold it better, like, you know, kind of like Carey Price does.
He really didn't complain at all after two, and a lot of maybe
after a little bit, but he didn't throw a fit.
Maybe because he's a rookie, but you know, someone like Curtis Joseph, you remember him going absolutely ballistic in the
with
playoffs,
Magoo and the falling over. But I mean, Jackman's not going to the crease there, Michael, and that's why I don't have an issue with that. If you're going to stand atop the crease, you could get bumped. He didn't smoke him. He just kind of bumped him.
Hutchinson's not out of the crease. He's still in the top, in the blue paint. He's in the very top, though.
Jackman didn't go in the crease, though.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess he can lean over a little bit. I don't know. I've certainly seen that goal called back a bunch, but I've also seen that goal out. So, and the credit to Getzlaff, I know that Hutchinson was bumped there, but there's not many guys who can rip a shot like that. Ooh.
Yeah, that's certainly...
He was dominant tonight.
Certainly correct. And you know, Getzlaff talked about his dominance. What did he have? He had 3 points last week against the Jets, 2 points again tonight. That's 5 points in two games. And, you know, every time he's on the ice, every time he gets the puck, you're certainly aware of what this guy can do.
22 and a half minutes. Just dynamic minutes as far as I'm concerned. Always creating, as you know, talked about his point performance. There's a reason why. He's always a threat.
Yeah, and last week he did it to the Jets on the power play, but this week on the penalty kill, you know, the Jets get a penalty. The power play has been working very well over the last eight or so games, running at about around 30%. But the puck's iced. Michael Hutchinson goes to play it, and he's kind of a bit too casual. He's got one hand on the stick. He's got to, you know, his play there is to leave it for Dustin Bufflin on his forehand. He clanks it right off the side of the net.
Well, he almost put it in, and that's why he panicked.
Yeah, clanks it, and then he can't get to Bufflin in a position where easy for him to take, and he has to adjust. Can't do it, and picks his pocket, gets the puck to Nate Thompson in front for an easy one.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a screw up by Hutchinson there, and what can you do? That's one of those plays where you're still not playing a ton, you know, how comfortable are you playing the puck? And it's a simple play, and you're making it overly complicated, right? Get the puck, put it down, just put it behind the goal, and let Bufflin skating back, pick it up, right? And he panicked a bit after it almost went in, and they pushed it to Bufflin, and the problem is they weren't on the same page there. You turn it over to Ryan Getzlaff behind the net. Ryan Getzlaff goes forehand, backhand, right in front to Thompson, and it's in the back of the net. I mean, there's no other guy there's no guy you'd rather not be. It's a double negative there. There's any other player on the team would have been a better player to give it up to. That's what I mean. And Getzlaff goes backhand, forehand, and forehand, backhand. That puck is on Thompson's tape, and it's in the back of the net. Similar, if you recall, Michael, I think the last year when Bogosian made that turnover in front
Corey
to Perry, who would you want it to be? No other guy than Corey Perry, right? Every other guy, than Corey Perry.
For sure.
And the same thing here. Any other guy on the team except for Getzlaff, you'd take your chances rather than him. And both times it was to the wrong guy. And, you know, what can you do? That's one of those plays where you just say, I screwed up and move on. It's not something that you're going to think too much about. Maybe you'll simplify your game a little bit, but it's not something you go, that's a turnover that I have to change my game about. It's more so those things happen randomly throughout the season. You just got to get over it.
Yeah, and that really was the turning point of the game. I thought, it was the end of the second period. The Jets were at 2-1. They gave up a bad goal. Maybe you think they can fight back from that. Yeah. But the third period wasn't very kind for them. I mean, you had Party getting an interference penalty.
The Jets pushed, I thought, the first 3-4 minutes, and then it was just penalties.
I mean, I'm trying to think of really good scoring chances. They had a few at the end. Little missed an empty net.
The post.
They had the one that was reviewed on the post. They had those two, but when you look at the shots, Kane, I don't think he recorded a shot on goal.
Kane was invisible
all
tonight.
Night.
Let's talk about him some more again.
Mark Scheifele, he had one shot. I feel like he's having a lot of trouble. I mean, he had 3 points the other night, but you haven't seen the dangle plays that you had seen from him earlier this season. I thought the Jets' top line of Ladd, Little, Wheeler, I mean, they were their...
They got outplayed by the other top line.
Yeah, they were their best one, but they got outplayed. The Jets secondary scoring. Adam Lowry, actually, I thought had a nice game. Didn't get... There was one play where he was rushing into the corner, didn't get a hooking call, but he did play. He had a few chances, but that's about it.
They score a shorthanded empty net goal, Colorado. But what I want to talk about before we're done is the ice time allocation, okay? Looking at it right here. Jacob Trouba, 22 minutes and 51 seconds, okay? On the ice, a minus one, but that was for the empty net goal, okay? So, I mean, that's not, can't really count that. 22 minutes and 51 seconds. Power play, 321, shorthanded, 607, 13-23 at even strength, okay? Let's go down the sheet here. Dustin Byfuglien, not good enough to play defense, you think. I mean, not as good as Trouba and Bogosian, otherwise you think... Maybe, sure, he can play forward, so that gives him the flexibility. But let's agree that he's not as good defensively as both those guys,
right?
Okay? He doesn't play defense usually.
Correct.
27 minutes. Okay?
Yep.
Score across the board. Power play, 357.
Yeah, that's fine. That's where he normally
plays. 241 on the shorthanded. Okay, well, they don't really have many other options right now. He plays 20 minutes and 23 seconds at even strength. Plays 7 minutes more at even strength. Exactly 7 minutes more at even strength than Jacob Trouba. That can't happen. That can't happen. That is bad allocation of ice time. You can't have that. And who? What was Byfuglien, by the way? What was he tonight?
Minus
on
30.
For every goal. 33. Every goal scored tonight, he was on the ice for.
Huh.
Okay? I don't know how you decide you're going to play Byfuglien 7 minutes more at even strength than Trouba. Come on. That can't happen.
Certainly a fair point. And the Jets look to regroup again on Tuesday against Buffalo here.
A terrible team. And I know they're playing better, Buffalo. Buffalo's a terrible team, but they're playing better. You can't take anybody lightly. But the Jets have been doing a really nice job of beating the teams that they should. So you have to trust that they will again.
Yeah, the Jets are playing very well against the teams not in the playoffs. And then against teams like the Ducks, they seem to give up, and the Kings and the Sharks, teams that are going for the playoffs, they seem to be giving up more goals and not winning as many games against the playoff teams.
Right, and it seems like they've been in a lot of those games. I know Boston, Anaheim before this.
Yeah, Boston, they played well against Chicago. Michael Hutchinson stood on his head, who I thought was, aside from those, he was kind of bumped in. You can give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. And the second one, or the third one, he screwed up on. But he made some very good saves on the power play going post to post.
Hutchinson has been really good.
Yep.
No problems. I have no problems with Hutchinson's game tonight. I mean, you know what? The turnover is what it is, and you can go either way, and as you mentioned, the second goal. I mean, I certainly don't have any problems with Michael Hutchinson. The team needs to be better in front of him, though.
Yeah.
And if he plays, you know, he's going to start playing against some better teams because he's been playing well, and the team's got to pick up their game. Because I thought overall the Jets really, I know they got the first goal, but there was never a point in the game where I thought the Jets were in it, like really in it.
Yeah, I would agree with that, except for the first bit of the game when they went up early. And you funny, you mentioned, go back to your last point, you talked about Byfuglien on for every goal. Kane was actually on for every goal, too, except for the first goal that the Jets scored.
Yeah, I mean...
So he was a minus three. Well, you look minus one, everyone in the Jets lineup. Kane, zero shots on goal, minus three.
Ineffective, completely not noticeable on offense. And again,
and this was his first game back from a suspension.
Two games. So not injured, right?
Yeah, not injured.
So it shouldn't really be any you know, I mean, get the kinks out in the first little bit, but come on.
All right. Well, and that's it for the Little Curve post-game podcast. The Jets, as we said, Tuesday against Buffalo is their next game. Wednesday, NHL midweek with a Little Curve. And we'll be back on Saturday for the Little Curve hockey show airing noon to 3 on TSN 1290. For Richard Pollock, I'm Michael Remus, and this is the Little Curve post-game podcast.